Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus.
As you examine yourself, remember
who spared your life.
Yes. I'm going to stop right there, amen. It's not my time to be preaching, amen. I just want to say good morning to you, amen. It is Sunday morning. I'm blessed to be here. You don't understand how blessed I am to be here.
Amen.
Because he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to
do
it.
No, he didn't.
Brother Tony, please bless us, sir.
God bless everyone this great Sunday morning, and thank God for all his blessings. And moving on in our Black History celebration, this morning I'd like to honor a great mother and sister and a choir member, our great mother, Sister Vera Campbell, with one of her songs that she used to bless us with. When you're troubled and despondent, just don't know which way to go, let the hand of Jesus lead you, and to his way you show. Call his name late in the midnight. Call his name late in the day. Call Jesus, the Heavenly Father. He'll lead the way. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, Lamb of God, I come in this land of strife and woe. I am bleeding for your mercy and your spirit you give, I know. When I'm pressing the high mark of calling, sometimes rising, sometimes falling, I want Jesus, the Heavenly Father, to lead the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just Jesus. Oh, when your burden his name relieves, it relieves us. Though dark clouds may rise, his name dries tears from my eyes. Call Jesus, the Heavenly Father, he satisfies. Oh, just Jesus. Oh, call him, just Jesus. Oh, when your burden his name relieves us. Though dark clouds may rise, his name dries tears from my eyes. Call Jesus, the Heavenly Father, he satisfies. Oh, just Jesus. Oh, call him, just Jesus. When your burden his name relieves us, though dark clouds may rise, give name dry tears from my eyes. Call Jesus, the Heavenly Father, He satisfies. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing. We shall now have our affirmation of faith by Minister Cal Garrett, followed by our invocation of Minister Rosalind Thomas, and our scripture by Minister Lisa Green.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Let us unite together in the historic Christian faith. In whom do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, but on the third day He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, saints. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Oh, magnify the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Eternal God, I pray that You bless us this morning in our worship service and keep us. Lord, make Your face shine on us and be gracious to us. I pray that we feel Your presence during this morning worship service because You are with us wherever we are. I pray that this worship service focus upon You and Your plans for us as a body of believers. As we stand in awe of Your goodness and mercy today, we invite You to be present among us by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Father. We declare that we love You. Thank You that You have made the way of love known through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that You will reveal this great love to us all today as we gather to worship. Lead us by Your Spirit to praise You. May our hearts overflow with thanksgiving and our mouths proclaim Your everlasting greatness. Father God, touch our minister this morning, whom You have chosen to give a word from You. Father, anoint her heart and her spirit that it may overflow over on us. Use her this morning. Bless once again this blog radio station, Hakeem and Michelle, for allowing us to bring forth Your holy word to all. Bless the sick and shut in. Lord, bless the bereaved family of Minister Linda Larkins, one of our faithful ministers who has gone home to be with the Lord, and also Brother Isaac Callan, son of Mother Callan. So we pray for the Larkin and Callan family. Bless each one represented here this morning. Let Your Holy Spirit shower down on us. Use us, Lord, for Your glory. Lord, we thank You for fellowship and family. We ask that You will strengthen us, restore us, and inspire us with Your love. Lord, will You fill us with Your peace so that we, as we journey onward, we will pour Your love and grace to others. We ask that our souls would catch the wind of Your Spirit so that we would take Your promises to all the earth. This is our prayer. Touch, Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask this and all in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And let the church say amen, amen,
amen,
amen,
amen,
amen,
amen,
amen.
Good morning. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 22 through 24. And He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. The word of God for his people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony, Minister Kyle, Minister Roslyn, and Minister Lisa. God bless you. Amen. As we come to this portion of our service, again, it is with a heavy heart that I announce that the passing of Minister Linda Larkin. She passed last week, and she was a part of this ministerial staff. We are praying for her and for her family. We ask that right now we are asking everyone to just keep them in prayer. Amen. Just keep this family in prayer. Also, we've also lost Brother Isaac Allen. He was also grew up in Fuse Memorial. Amen. And we all know him and love him and his family. Continue to please keep them wrapped in your loving arms. Also, my granddaddy, my rock, amen, Reverend Jesse L. Douglas, amen. He made his transition on Tuesday, last Tuesday. I'll continue to pray for his family and myself as well. He was a wonderful man, and I loved him very dearly, and I will miss him. But I know that he's in a better place. There's no doubt in my mind. Amen. So we know we've been experiencing a lot of heartache around this last year, but God is able. God is able. And while we're still in the midst of all of this that's going on, please continue to sanitize. Please continue to keep your distance from each other, and please wear your mask. Amen. For all members of Fuse, the stewards will be at the church on Tuesday. Please contact them if you need any assistance. Amen. They're there for you. Amen. God bless you. We shall now have our Black History moment. Amen. This young lady is a faithful member of Fuse. I have grown to love her very dearly. She always greets everyone with a smile. She is a doorkeeper in Fuse Memorial. I present to you Sister Rachel Fuse. Ms. Fuse, you have the floor.
Thank you, Pastor. Today I bring you the life of Mary McLeod Bethune. She was an American, Afro-American woman, a pioneer of women's leadership, a devoted Methodist who opened doors of education by founding a school that continues today. In 1904, Mary McLeod Bethune financed a dream by baking sweet potato pies with five girls and $1.50. She started a school that became a Methodist institution. Mary was born in 1875 on a South Carolina cotton farm. Mary went to college and opened doors of education. Her school for girls quickly grew. In 1931, the Methodist Church helped the merger with the Cookman Institute for Boys to form Bethune-Cookman College. Mary Bethune traveled extensively, was a delegate to four Methodist General Conferences, advised five U.S. presidents, and was the only black woman present at the founding of the United Nations in 1945. Back on campus, she was Mama Bethune. The icon passed away in 1955, leaving a last will and testament full of wisdom and love. I leave you love, love thy neighbor, is a precept which could transform the world if it were universally practiced. I leave you hope. I leave you the challenge of developing confidence in one another. I leave you a thirst for education. I leave you respect for the use of power. I leave you faith. I leave you radical dignity. I leave you a desire to live harmoniously with your fellow man. I leave you finally a responsibility to our young people. If I had a legacy to leave my people, it is my philosophy of living and serving. I think I have spent my life well. I pray now that my philosophy may be helpful to those who share my vision of a world of peace, progress, brotherhood, and love. Mary McLeod Bethune lived from 1875 to 1955, and she passed in her 79th year. Mary McLeod Bethune.
Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Sister Rachel Fuse. Thank you.
It was my pleasure.
Minister Lisa, will you please bless us with the altar call?
Good morning. Father God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, will you trust them today? Will you come? Will you pick up your cross daily as you're meant to do and carry it to the place where you will face it? The challenge is clear that we are all disciples of Christ. And I ask that you would trust in him, repent, and bring all that you are and lay it down before him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, right now that we apply ourselves and our lives to you. Carry out your will and your way, Father God. We thank you right now, Jesus, that we lay our lives down before you and we pick them up daily. And we just exalt your holy name. We thank you. We beseech you right now that we are looking to you for direction and the love that you've given us. In the direction that you've given us, Father God, that we will follow it. We will pick it up daily and lay it down, Father God, and understand that we are here to serve for your purpose. Will you come? Will you come into right standing with Christ? Will you pick up your cross? Will you be responsible as one of his disciples to carry out the plan that he has set forth? This is your relationship with Christ, and it's primarily a term on which we consider that we will do this and deny ourselves all the vainglory and desires that we would have of this world and just reach for all the things that are Christ. Come and trust him today. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Just rest with us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen, Brother Tony. Will you please bless us with a song?
God bless everyone. Majesty, how I bless you, Majesty, how I praise you, for you alone are worthy of my praise. Majesty, how I bless you, Majesty, how I praise you, for you alone are worthy of my praise. Majesty, how I bless you, Majesty, how I praise you, for you alone are worthy of my praise. Oh, you are worthy of my praise. 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 For you alone are worthy of my praise. Praise the Lord.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy of our praise. Thank you so much, Brother Tony, for that spirit-filled song. Thank you so much, Pastor Townsend, for this opportunity to be able to speak this morning. It is a privilege that I do not take for granted. Thank you so very much. As well, thank you so much to HubNet, Brother Hakim and Sister Michelle for opening their doors to our church. God bless you, and to the ministerial staff of Fuse Memorial. Thank you. As it was read earlier, Luke chapter 9, verses 23-24, I would like to add Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or you do not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test. Pray with me. Dear gracious God, we just come to you just to say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to be able to come together to worship and praise your most holy name. I ask you, Father God, that you would remove me, Quasian, and to step in, Father. Open the spiritual ears of your people that they may be able to hear, receive, and also apply your word that is spoken this morning. We just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise because you deserve it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My title this morning, What is Lent? Although Easter is the most significant of the Christian holidays, it is not enjoyed like the kind of enthusiasm or hype like Christmas or Thanksgiving. Fine Lent. Lent is a 40-day period before Easter. It begins on Ash Wednesday, which we just recognized this past week. Therefore, we have now entered the Lenten season and have begun our march towards Calvary. As I was studying, I dug down deep to find that the meaning of Ash Wednesday and where it came from. Back in the day when fire was vital for cooking and heat, a major part of keeping house was keeping ashes under control. During times when serious problems arose, that housekeeping chore would often be left undone, and so a person who was mourning and suffering distress would often have ashes on their face. Eventually, putting ashes on their face became a part of the mourning process. Ash Wednesday is about mourning for the sin, which makes the sacrifice necessary. For in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. During this time of the 40 days, we skip Sundays because Sundays is always about the resurrection. Lent is a season of soul searching, a time of reflection. And in the earliest days of the church, Lent began as a time of preparation for Easter. And by observing Lent, the individual Christian imitates Jesus' withdrawal into the wilderness. How can we use the 40 days of Lent to prepare our hearts for the Christendom's most sacred holiday? What do we do during the 40 days to shake ourselves from business as usual to a more spiritual, atoned life? Most of us, truth be told, are out of tune spiritually. Feel good enough to work our 9 to 10 hour jobs on Wednesday, but don't feel good enough to come to prayer service and Bible study for an hour and a half. Feel strong enough to work 40 to 50 hours during the week, but too tired to come to church on Sunday for 2 hours. We feel good enough to go to Walmart for an hour, but we can't visit a member and encourage them for an hour of the day. We sit on Sunday morning talking about, I'm not an emotional person, but then we go to the Little Caesars Arena or Ford Field and shout and cheer for the Pistons or the Lions, but can't open our mouth and say amen on Sunday morning. I'm talking about a spiritually atoned life. The Lent season should help us to be honest with God and become more connected to his will for our life. Faith is supposed to be about imitating Jesus, who said some radical things. We tend to want to imitate Jesus in ways that appeal to us. We pick and choose the parts of his life we will emulate based on our sense of what is really important. I think oftentimes we get caught up in the wrong stuff during Lent season. We try to appear as though we are doing the things to deny ourselves and to draw ourselves closer to the Lord. Every year during this time, we do the same over and over and over again for Lent. The Daniel fast, no meat, no TV, no movies, no restaurants. How many times do we need to do the same things over and over and over? How many times do we need to do the same things and make the same sacrifices and still get the same results? We still find ourselves in the same place we are in before, spiritually dead and no closer to God than we were before. When Jesus took this walk into the wilderness, he denied himself. He made sacrifices. Would you be willing to go beyond the comfort level to self-sacrifice in order to closely imitate Jesus and prepare your hearts for Easter? Jesus speaks to us through his word, and he tells us that Lent is a time of self-denial, a time to give up something. Jesus isn't concerned about
us giving up TV, not eating meat, or the movies? What's going on in our hearts? Lent is a time to give up those sins in our lives. That's the things that are in our lives. It is a time of sin. It is a time of sins of hypocrisy, acting like a Christian on the outside, but being proud and self-centered on the inside. Lent is a time to give up sin of duplicity, being a Christian on Sunday, but being an unbeliever on Fridays. It is a time to give up sin, being lethargic. Someday I'll get to act spiritually. I'll get spiritually right one day. But right now, though, I'm just too busy focusing on everything except God. It's a time for mourning, solemnity, sadness. Lent season is time for self-examination is crucial. An individual's response is to call to the purposeful reflection of one's need for God is an important factor in choosing a discipline with which to actively observe Lent. For some, fasting is a means of self-examination and denial. Yet, fasting is not an appropriate discipline for all people. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 tells us that when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. Thinking about what does that mean, Minister? That simply means that you shouldn't be announcing or telling people that you're fasting. When you do that, it's no longer for His glory, but it's for your own. The purpose of the Lenten discipline is to strip away those things which clutter one's life and impede, which means to impede or delay one from being in the relationship with God. Therefore, much of what we do is not appropriate because for 40 days we go back to the TV, we go back to the restaurants, we go back to eating meat, we go back to shopping or doing whatever it was that we sacrificed for only 40 days. Lent then is also a time for people to experience and reflect on the sufferings of Jesus. In light of the personal sin and unrighteousness, what is Lent? Lent is what is like when man, he stood in the back of the temple that Jesus referenced and watched the Pharisees all proud of himself saying, "Thank you, Lord, I am not like them." Lent is like that man that stood in the back and looked down to the ground and prayed to God saying, "Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." Lent is a time for us to be like the man that is at the back of the church. Lent is like the times that we give up our sinful habits. Lent is the time for us to give up the sinful attitudes. Lent is the time for us to stand before God and not to ask and to ask Him to forgive us. Lent is the time for us to stand before God and ask Him to wash away our sins. Lent is the time for us to stand before God and to empower us to turn away from the sinful past. Lent is the time for us to stand before God and to live new lives and to live to dedicate for His glory. Lent is an attitude. Lent is an attitude of honesty and humility as we confess our sins to God. But Lent is also an attitude of relief and joy, knowing that our sins have been forgiven, that our slate has been wiped clean, clean as we seek to serve our God as we live. Yes, these 40 days are the time for you to look deep into our hearts, to think about the life and how you've been living it. What sin are you going to give up for Lent and for the rest of your life? Jesus will forgive that sin, wash away that sin at the cross. Jesus promises to empower you to live a new life that glorifies Him. But what Christ is really concerned about, what's in your heart. This morning, we begin to take that long walk to the cross where we see just how serious and terrible our sins are. But there, we also see how wonderful and deep our Savior's love is for us. The road doesn't have to end there, but at the empty tomb where Jesus rises from the dead to prove that all of our sins have been forgiven. Christianity is about more than just the outward behavior, but it's also the condition of our hearts. We need to prepare our hearts by Easter by setting aside this time for self-examination. That is where it's necessary, repentance and change. Too often, we focus on what others are able to see, the outward appearance. It's easy to look good to one another. We begin to focus on the well-groomed, the dress to impress, the cologne and the perfume that's always on point. Shoes are always shining and looking good. Everything matching from head to toe. But Christianity goes beyond the outward. Remember what Jesus said in St. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. This people draws nigh unto me for their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Jesus reminds us that the things that goes far beyond the outward, we must make the changes inwardly. What is your heart saying? God is not simply commanding outward obedience. He's commanding that perfect inner obedience as well. He commands our total love and trust in him as one and the only God. He commands that that we continually live down in our hearts and that we go about our daily conversations with him. In other words, change the way that you respond. He commands that we never neglect his word. He commands the love and obedience in our authority. He commands to help us those that are in need and to defend those and others that tear down. We must be careful not to develop and embrace the attitude of there's nothing wrong with me spiritually. It's probably the most worst thing that a person could say for the person to be able to stand to God and say that there's nothing wrong with me. That's incapable of being a Christian. It's unacceptable to God. What is the opposite of there's something wrong with me? Wouldn't it be there's everything that's wrong with me? According to the Bible, a Christian is someone who stands before God and says, there's everything that's wrong with me. A Christian is someone who can say, but Jesus Christ has overcome my sin. Christ has taken away all of the things that are wrong with me. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, Lent should not be viewed as the logistics of the act, but rather as the fantastic opportunity to set aside apart the spiritual cleansing, renewal, and preparation. Although specific mention of Lent in the Bible, this time is set apart for repentance and mourning and in ashes that is referenced several times. Lent was meant temporary interruption in the regularly scheduled celebration of the resurrection. It was a time when new converts were examined, when sinners were restored, and when everyone prepared to hear again the great story of God's salvation work in Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the way, Lent stopped being just about the 40 days. Somewhere along the way, the church eschewed the resurrection reality and never recovered it. Somewhere along the way, the eyes of the church became accustomed to the darkness. Somewhere along the way, the church became comfortable inside herself. Somewhere along the way, the church laid down the shining banner of the resurrection and put up on the sackcloth of Lent and forgot to take them off. Somewhere along the way, the resurrection became the exception while Lent became the rule. Lent is supposed to be the time where we pursue where we haven't gone yet. Journey to a new dimension in God. Experience more and more of his inexhaustible power, who chases us with his love, a God who still bids us stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And for the reason that I'm giving up Lent this year, and the reason that we are going to give up the way that churches typically views Lent, I decided to take Jesus' word seriously, to put oil on my head and to wash my face and to do Lent differently this year. I decided to take on the dreariness and to put on the joy of the Lord. That is my strength. I'm giving up Lent in three ways. I'm going to live out loud, live in love, live in praise, giving it up and giving in. That's what our season of Lent is all about, giving up, doing whatever it takes to get rid of those things that are in our lives, keeping our completely on the relationship with God, our loving Father. In a world where resurrection has become the exception, while Lent has become the rule, I have chosen to give up Lent for Lent. God is calling us to the observance of the Holy Lent, where we will relearn what it means to be loved, to be redeemed, to be sanctified, to be sanctified, to be empowered, to be strengthened, cherished by a loving God. Amen, amen, and amen.
All right, now. All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. What is Lent? Thank you for that wonderful, wonderful word. Amen. Amen and amen. I may need to see that message, amen, a little later on. just to get some notes off of that. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Minister Tremaine, for that wonderful, wonderful message. Amen. Thank you for reminding us about the true season of Lent. Amen. 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 And amen. Minister Kyle Garrett, will you please open up the door of the church?
Amen. You've heard the message of what it truly means to what the meaning behind Lent is. But now I ask you, as the door of the church opens, I ask you to open up your heart to the Lord and ask yourself, are there some things that I need to fix? Where are my strengths? Where are my weaknesses? But I ask you to look unto the Lord and pray with me. Lord, I ask that you forgive me. I love you. I ask that you come into my heart. I ask that you be my Savior. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And I ask that you will allow me to be into your family. Lord, as I reflect, let your will be done and made out for my life. I thank you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, know that this is a big step in beginning that you have made a covenant with Christ and that you, my friend, my brother, my sister, you have been born again. Now that's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. Now I encourage you to find a Bible-based church and I ask that you share not only your talents, but your offerings financially, and that you share your presence with them and watch what God is going to do in your life, goals that he will allow to happen in your life. May God bless you, and may he keep you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We should not have a doxology. Reverend Patricia Johnson.
Praise the Lord, blessing for praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye
Reverend Patricia Johnson. And on behalf of Fuse Memorial, we always give honor and praise when it's due. And we thank God for you, Brother Hakim and Sister Michelle, for allowing us the opportunity to be able to broadcast our worship experience. Amen. We thank God for you. And we are HubNet 24/7. Amen. That's our slogan. That's my slogan. I know, and I know if it's my slogan, it's their slogan, amen. So we are HubNet 24/7. There's always something on HubNet for you to listen to, for you to enjoy, and we just thank God for this opportunity. Bless you, brother. And I would like to yield to the Minister Tremaine Townsend for the benediction. Will you please bless us, Minister Tremaine? All right, Nana.
Amen.
I think she's getting ready. Oh, all right, man. Amen. There you go.
Amen. Now, unto him who is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before his Son, to all wise God, our Savior, be dominion and power. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We all together say amen, amen, and amen.
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 Amen. Until next week, may God continue to bless you and may God continue to keep you. I love you. We love you. We are signing off. Have a blessed day.